friends. During the last months, Pastor Richard has been leading us through the book of Romans, allowing us to see more and more from the Bible how terrible our sinful condition is. Last week, we saw that reality is that we are slaves, whether of righteousness or whether of sin. But the problem is that most of the time, as believers, we pamper our own sin. We justify our sin. We deny our sin, or we minimize our sin, thinking that it is not too bad as it is in others, that mine is very little, that I have it under control, that it is my right, that my sin doesn't will hurt anybody, that nobody will know, and you know, more excuses. But, dear brothers and sisters, truth is that every sin brings consequences. This morning, I want to call your attention on this very truth, that sin always brings consequences. My hope is that the scriptures lead us today to live a life of holiness in such a way that we can avoid a lot of those unnecessary consequences upon our lives and in the life of others around us. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us this morning to worship you. Lord, we recognize that only you deserve to be worshipped. Lord, help us to do it in your way. Please take care of our concerns, our distractions, and allow our heart and our minds to be open to your word. Help me to be your instrument. In Jesus' name, amen. A good place for a start, or to start in this purpose, is the second book of Samuel. Because there, by presenting both the strengths and the weakness of David, we will see a picture of a very real person who was described as a man after God's own heart, who faced consequences of his sin upon himself and upon others around him. The book of 2 Samuel can be divided in two parts. The first part, chapters 1 to 10, recounts David's triumphs. David took a divide and defeat Israel from his predecessor, King Saul, and unified the nation under God's guidance. The second part, chapters 11 to 24, deals with David's transgressions, adultery and murder, and the resulting trouble in his life, in his house, and in his kingdom. I invite you to take the time this week for reading it in detail. This morning only we will read only chapter 11, but you will enjoy this reading during the week. Sin is abominable in God's eyes. He hates it, says Deuteronomy. Sin is contrary to his nature, says Isaiah 63. The scriptures call sin fitness. In Proverbs 30:12 and Ezekiel 24:13, and likens it to a putrefying corpse, sinners are tombs are the tombs that contain stench and fullness. Matthew 23:27. The ultimate penalty death is the consequence of sin. Ezekiel 18:4. John MacArthur says, if you refuse to see your sin as God does, you cannot escape His eternal judgment. If you want to deny your guilt or hide your own sinfulness, you will never discover the cure for your sin. If you try to justify your sin, you will forfeit the justification of God. Until you understand how offensive your sin is before God, you can never know Him. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read one of the most sad histories in the Bible, the account of David's sin of lust and adultery, and David's attempt cover up by means of deceitful manipulation, and then the arranged death of Uriah. Let's read 2 Samuel verse chapter 11. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to the battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the son of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now, when evening came, David rose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, it is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, and said, I am pregnant. Then David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of the war. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out to the king's house, and a present from the king was sent out after him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. Now, when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, Have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? Uriah said to David, the ark of Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and the servant of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? But your life and the life of your soul, I will not do these things. Then David said to Uriah, stay here today also, and tomorrow I will let you go. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now David called him, and he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his bed with his lord's servants, but he did not go down to his house. Now, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and set it by hand of Uriah. He had written in the letter, saying, place Uriah in the front of line of the fiercest battle, and withdraw from him, so that he may be struck down and die. So it was as Joab kept watch on the city that he put Uriah at the place where he knew there were valiant men. The men of the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent and reported to David all the events of the war. He charged the messenger, saying, "When you have finished telling all the events of the war to the king, and if it happens that the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, 'Why did you go so near to the city to fight? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall?' Who struck down Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman throw an upper milestone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebes? Why did you go so near the wall?" Then Jushal said, "Your servant Uriah, the Hittite, is dead also." So the messenger departed and came and reported to David all that Joab has sent to him to tell. The messenger said to David, "The men prevailed against us and came out against us in the field, but we pressed them as far as the entrance of the gate. Moreover, the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah, the Hittite, is also dead." Then David said to the messenger, "Thus you shall say to Joab, 'Do not let these things displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Make your battle against the city stronger and overthrow it.' And so encourage him." Now, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the time of the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife. Then she bore him a son. But the thing that David has done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Wow, very interesting history, you know, isn't it? This change of scene start one normal evening. David never thought it will be so big. Let's see some of the consequences he experienced as a result of his sin. First, he walked through 9 months of phony, hypocritical, fake spiritual leadership. David was an hypocrite. Sin changed people. Do you remember that he was a man according to the heart of God? But now he was a fake spiritual leader. Only when Nathan came to him and rebuked him, he faced the gravity of his sin. David suffered physical ailments. He received a harsh and shocking rebuke from Nathan, the prophet. Nathan asked David, Why have you done evil? And I don't know if you like to receive rebuking from others, but David had to suffer this rebuking. He suffered the direct crushing weight of the heavy discipline of God. And this was the worst part. God's discipline was heavy. Psalm 38:1-2 said, because David's sin was against him, as Psalm 51 says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not in your bringing anger, for your arrows have sunk deep on me, and your hands has pressed down on me." David suffered intense regret, shame, and conviction. Psalms 32 says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." This is Psalm 51. "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." David suffered generally from sorrow and sadness. He said, "Restore to me the joy and your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." So David, after his sin and after he was rebuked from Nathan, he starts suffering a lot, the consequence of his own sin. But he also brought a hard edge upon himself and his members of the family. In chapter 12 of 2 Samuel says, "Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wife before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel and under the sun." David makes sin thinking that nobody will see. But the Lord says, I will repay you, and all people will see. His newborn infant son died, as prophesied by Nathan. His daughter Tamar was raped by David's son Amnon, following David's example. His son Amnon was murdered in revenge by Tamar's brother Absalom, who commanded his servants kill Amnon, and then he fled. Joab, his general, sent a wise woman to ask David to bring Absalom back. David agreed, but he will not let Absalom see his face for 2 years. Let me stop here the list, but he make a sin for a few minutes. And now his son is died, his daughter was raped, his other son was died, and he doesn't like to talk or to see his other son for 2 years. His son Absalom become openly rebellious, marked by angry and defiant behavior. His son Absalom went to Hebron and sent out spies to proclaim him king. David was forced to flee. Absalom, David's favorite son, led a terrible revolt against David and drove the king out of Jerusalem for a time. Ahithophel, David's counselor and Bathsheba's grandfather, advised Absalom to sleep with David's concubines. The servants of David defeat Israel during the civil war, and Absalom got stuck in a tree, and Joab killed him. David was emotionally devastated by the death of his son Absalom. He changed a few moments of pleasure for all of this list that we are mentioned right now. It is sad. But even sadder, is to study carefully the effects of David's sin upon others. From chapter 12 and following, we can find this frightening, tragic tale told in sordid detail and with painful, brutal honesty. Consequence upon others. David's household servants were ordered to participate in David's sinful act with Bathsheba. Chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "It is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Others always will be involved in our sin. Bathsheba was sexually violent, and impregnant. Chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he laid with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. Joab was ordered to participate in the sinful action against Uriah. Verse 14. Now, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and set it by the hand of Uriah. He had written in the letter saying, "Place Uriah in the front line of the fierce battle and withdraw from him so that he might be struck down and die." David's household, Bathsheba, Joab, Bathsheba's husband Uriah also was another consequence of the sin of David. Bathsheba's husband Uriah was betrayed by David and then killed, even though he was one of David's mighty men, not just an ordinary soldier. Chapter 23:39 says, "The men of the city went out." No, sorry, it's verse 17 in chapter 11 says, "The men at the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died." In chapter 23, in the same book, says that is the list of the mighty men of David's, and Uriah is one of these. And David betrayed him for only a moment of pleasure. Some of Uriah's fellow soldiers also were killed in that foolish military deployment. Not only Uriah, but more people. Those soldiers' families grieved the death of their sons, husbands. Their lives were tragically changed for the pleasure of David. Now that Uriah's family grieved when they received the word of his death, as did Bathsheba. Now, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Other people suffer when we sin. Bathsheba's father, Eliam, 11:3, was betrayed, even though he was one of David's mighty men. The father of Bathsheba was a very good friend of David, and he raped his daughter. Bathsheba's grandfather, Ahithophel, was betrayed, even though he was one of David's most trusted counselors, whose words were the oracle of God to David. Ahithophel became bitter, joined in Absalom's rebellion against David, and ultimately hung himself when discovered. All of this is a chain for only one sin. Nathan had to become involved and deliver a message of harsh rebuke. Never an easy task. Bathsheba's newborn infant so died, as prophesied. Amnon failed to control his sexual lust, and he acted manipulatively, just like his father David. Verse 14. However, he would not listen to her, since he was strong and 13. He violated her and lay with her. Tamar was raped by her lustful brother, just as David forced himself upon Bathsheba. Absalom become a murderer, arranger of murder, just like his father, David. Amnon was murdered by his brother. Verse 28. Absalom command his servant, saying, "See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." Then the servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom has commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Absalom led a rebellion against his father and ultimately was killed. 600 men and their families fled from Jerusalem with David into the wilderness. Hittai, who just has arrived the day before, fled into the wilderness. 20,000 men died in that civil war, and the seeds were sown for perpetual civil war into the future between the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. According to the Bible, all the above tragic results in the family, in the life of David, and in the people around him came about because of David's sexual sin. In the same way, happen in our lives. Sin bring consequence to us, to our beloved ones, and to others. Sadly, as David, we did not imagine how a little pressure moment, a little moment of pleasure, could bring shame and devastation to many in this land right now. But the worst thing is, also it could bring eternal destruction. Nathan told David, "By this deed you have given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." The worst thing is that our sin brings the opportunity to others to blaspheme the name of the Lord, to do not believe in the Lord. Terrible, isn't it? What we can conclude? Galatians 5:16-17, our reading scripture today, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Galatians 6:7-8. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh set its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." What about you? Because the Bible was written as example to us. What sin are you cherishing in your life? Maybe pornography, or lust, or anger, or bad words, or adultery, or bitterness, or blasphemy, or boasting, or complaining, or covetousness, or defraud, or denying Christ, or dishonesty, or disobedient to the parents, or double tongue, or drunkenness, or envy or extortion or fathers provoking children to wrath or fear or foolishness or fornication or greediness or deceit or hypocrisy or idolatry or judging or lasciviousness or lying or maliciousness or presumption or pride or stealing, witchcraft, wrath, and so on. Your sin will bring consequence, is what the Bible says. So you and I, we cannot keep sinning, because we will face the consequence in our own lives, and many around us will suffer for our sin. And we can see that the suffering that David faced was not worth of what he did. This is the lie that the enemy of our souls always says. You will be delighted, but it's not true. You will suffer when you live in sin. Remember, each sin have consequence for you and for others. Don't repeat the sad history of David. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." If you have never realized before that every sin has consequence upon you and upon others, or if you are right now living in those consequences, you can experience God's sin-conquering grace. I invite you to come to Jesus today. He will save you and give you the power to resist sin and the strength you need for overcome all the difficulties you have in this life. If you want to come to the fount of life today, while we are listening the next song, please come to me and I will pray for you.